Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon. Moving it along here on a Monday afternoon, digesting the weekend. Lots of things to discuss. Red hot weekend for some of us. But I tell you what, nobody's hotter right now than the Columbus Blue Jackets. And here to tell us more about those Blue Jackets is Ryan Mitchell, the Columbus Blue Jackets Radio Network. Ryan, great to have you on as always. And holy smokes, have things really picked up for the Jackets. 11 games left in the season, 100 points, franchise record, and right now they are tied with the Washington Capitals for the top spot in the East. Got to be a pretty fun time down in Columbus right now, partner.
Oh, it certainly is, Matt. The people around town, you see Blue Jackets shirts and jerseys and caps and jackets all over the place. The city has, I think, they've always kind of embraced the Blue Jackets, but there has been enough on-ice, I guess, lack of success that it sort of tempered the enthusiasm. But now that this team is really rolling, the attendance has been great for the home games. Even on the road games, there are a lot of Jackets fans making the trips around the NHL. There is certainly a buzz in the city, and they were the second team in the league to clinch a playoff spot yesterday with win number 47, as you mentioned, 100 points. Chicago joined them. They were the first team in the Western Conference to clinch. So right now it's Washington and Columbus with 100 points, 99 points for Pittsburgh and Chicago. So the interesting thing is, even though there are still 11 games to go, there's a lot of jockeying for playoff position, and that the President's Trophy, even though John Tortorella, I didn't even know it was called the President's Trophy, he's not all that concerned about it. The players definitely feel like that's a goal they want to achieve because it gives you home ice advantage throughout the course of the playoffs. And, boy, when there's a game seven, you want to be in your own barn.
You mentioned that, of course, trying to get home ice advantage, winning the President's Trophy. I think for Blue Jackets fans, they'd love to see that happen in a huge game coming up on Thursday night in the nation's capital as they take on the Washington Capitals. Is the players, have they talked about that? Are they approaching it as a big game, or are they just going one at a time here?
Well, the old cliche of one at a time has been the mantra this season. But they also have recognized that there are certain games that are bigger than others. And one of the concerns, as the season goes along, there are ebbs and flows, and you start to nitpick at little things. One of the concerns about this team is that they were playing up to competition and also playing down to competition. So maybe if it was an out-of-conference foe in the middle of the week on the road where there wasn't a whole lot of action going on in the arena, it wasn't a very energetic night, sometimes the Blue Jackets would fall into a bit of a lull and lose to some of those teams or not come away with 2 points against some of those teams that on paper they should beat. When you talk about the matchups like Washington, like Pittsburgh, like the New York Rangers, they have been able to get up for all of those games, not win them all, of course, but they have certainly shown a lot of energy. And looking at the remainder of the schedule, Andy, you mentioned 11 games left. Toronto is coming up next at home. Then it's Washington. Philadelphia is fighting for a playoff spot. Then a couple of games against teams way on the outside looking in Buffalo and Carolina. And then you got the Blackhawks, the Capitals, and Pittsburgh, three straight games coming at you at the end of this month and the beginning of the month of April. So it is a tough schedule the rest of the way. But the Jackets seem to, again, Matt, risen to the occasion. When it's time to play those top teams, they have done so. So right now they're tied with Washington with 100 points. And as of today, Washington has the tiebreaker, but that's kind of a moot point because there are two more games left head-to-head to sort of figure out that tiebreaker scenario. And then the one more with Pittsburgh, who, by the way, is not going away. They want home ice advantage through the playoffs as well, and they're only 1 point behind those two. So they definitely recognize when there is one of those bellwether opponents in front of them, but they still are kind of towing the company line of one game at a time.
You can hear Ryan Mitchell pregame, postgame, and during the intermissions on the Columbus Blue Jackets Radio Network. Ryan Mitchell is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. You mentioned there about hitting a wall. Boy, opponents really have to feel like they're shooting at a wall when they shoot at Sergei Bobrovsky. Tell you what, 7-0. Over his last seven games, 1.14 goals against average. Right now, I'm not sure there's anybody in the NHL playing better than he is.
No, Carey Price has turned things back on. He had a lull, and he's very good right now. Montreal is really on an upswing. But Bobrovsky leads the league in wins. He's got 39. He's got the best save percentage. He's got the best goals against average. He's third in the league in shutouts with 6. As you mentioned, he's won 7 games in a row. Certainly a candidate, if not the favorite, for the Vezina. But also, when you start talking about the Hart, his name has to be in that conversation, because around the league there are a couple of guys that have had outstanding seasons. Brad Marchand is one of them. Sidney Crosby had a hat trick the other day to become the first 40-goal scorer in the league this season. So there are a few guys around the league who have had some very, very solid seasons. But when you talk about the most valuable player in the NHL, we've certainly seen a lot of players perform well for the Blue Jackets this season. However, I don't know if there's a more valuable player on this team than Sergei Bobrovsky, because there have been more than a handful of games where he has certainly stolen it when the Jackets haven't been scoring a lot of goals. There have also been a lot of nights, to be fair, this is a team that's very, very complete, where Sergei, like in the last game, he made a ton of saves, but there weren't a lot of what you would call prime scoring chances for the New Jersey Devils yesterday. So the numbers obviously look great in that one. He only allowed 1 goal in, and it was on a power play. But he has been, as you mentioned, one of the best, if not the best, in the league. And you'd have to think that over the offseason there's going to be some new hardware for his mantle.
Sergei Bobrovsky's played some great hockey. Korpisalo, though, on Saturday, they went into to the Barclays Center, and Brooklyn, New York, took on the Islanders. And the Islanders, they're on the bubble, the wild card, and Korpisalo stood strong on that. It looks like the Jackets, and not anything against Curtis McIlhenny, he played very strong between the pipes as well, but this young goalie's come up from Cleveland, now playing with the Columbus Blue Jackets. Looks like they've got a guy they can trust there in between the pipes if Bobrovsky isn't in action.
Well, certainly. It's his second win against the New York Islanders at a 7-0 shutout back in late February. And for most of the time when Korpisalo has been in net, he's had, to use a baseball term, more run support than just about anybody in the NHL. So there has certainly been that to it. He's had some really, really solid games. And after McIlhenny was released, and, you know, a lot of that was because they thought, we've got some guys in the minor leagues that have a future as, you know, possibly a starter in the NHL. There's that kind of talent. So if we are going to go into the playoffs and a situation arises where we need a guy to get in net, and, you know, knock on wood that that won't happen, but they weren't confident that Curtis McIlhenny could fill that role. So they needed to see if these young guys could fill that role. And there was a competition between Korpisalo and Anton Forsberg. And much like last year, when they got to the NHL level, Korpisalo just performed better. Now, Forsberg, of course, last year grabbed the net and didn't let it go in the playoffs for the then Lake Erie Monsters, now the Cleveland Monsters, and he was great in that regard. But when he got his opportunities in Columbus last year, he didn't play all that well, and the same thing this year. So Korpisalo sort of won that battle, and I think they've got a lot of faith in him to fill in behind Sergei Bobrovsky. And once the playoffs start, of course, they hope that that's a moot point and that Sergei will be between the pipes every night.
We've talked a lot about the hardware here, Ryan. Obviously, the cup is the one thing everybody wants to win. But you mentioned that John Tortorella didn't know the name of the President's Trophy. I got to believe he's at least heard of the Jack Adams Trophy. I got to think he's a favorite for that one this year, isn't he?
Well, based upon the preseason projections and the way the season has turned out once they've played the games, you'd have to think so, right? I mean, this is a team that nobody expected to go anywhere. They were third from the bottom last season in the NHL, a season where they were expected to contend for a playoff spot and fell flat on their faces, losing the first 8 games of the season. And it was just the opposite this year. And during training camp, a lot of people were beginning to wonder, because they were getting run out of the arena during preseason games. Now, not literally, because they were in great shape, because they were doing all sorts of skating and running and things of that nature. And it was all a plan. It was all laid out from John Tortorella to be in tremendous shape, put the systems in after that, let your body's physical condition become the primary focus of training camp, and then the skill will take over from there. And it has worked. They've been so good in third periods this year, where last year they faded in the third period and lost a lot of leads. They have won games this year in the exact same situations where past Blue Jacket teams have faltered and found ways to lose. This group is finding ways to win. And certainly, Tortorella's personality is stamped on this team. They're using a lot of the same vernacular that he is using in his press conferences. This team has bought in. And you talk about guys like Scott Hartnell, a veteran who has seen his playing time decrease a little bit this year. He could easily have been one of those kind of guys that's been snarking and griping about it, but he has not. He has embraced his role. He has cut down on his penalties. He's playing the type of style that John Tortorella wants from him. And that's been a great example to the other veteran guys and showing the young guys the proper way to go about buying in and becoming a team. So the job that John Tortorella and the rest of his coaching staff has done, and if you ask Torts, he will tell you that it's, you know, in large part due to the rest of the staff and then the guys on the ice. Obviously, he deflects a lot of the credit, but he certainly deserves to be in the conversation as the NHL's Coach of the Year.
Ryan Mitchell with the Columbus Blue Jackets Radio Network, our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. I prepped you for this, partner, so we'll get away from hockey here as we end this thing. There are a few things we want to discuss with you. I know you're a guy that's never turned down a good cannoli in your day, and that, of course, is our daily food for thought. So we want to know, what is the best cannoli you've ever tasted? And after you answer that, we'll dive into some of our social media poll questions.
Well, I'm a big fan of anything that comes from Murata's there in Cleveland Heights. They do a great job.
Wow.
The North Market here in Columbus has had some great cannoli. So it's really tough to pick just one because basically anytime somebody will put one out on a plate at a meeting place and I can just pick one up and eat it for free, well, that's for me because cannoli is one of those things you can never, ever turn down. And it's hard to make a bad one. Right, I mean, it's kind of like pizza. Even if it's bad, it's still pretty good. So, definitely from my time up there in Cleveland, Murata's is a place where you definitely you can get anything good, and North Market down here in Columbus.
Murata's is a magical place, and we'll just love go it. Ahead and leave it at that. I love that place. In addition, my partner threw this out there earlier. Do you think it will be possible, feasible, or edible to have a blueberry cannoli?
See, I'm not a big fruit in the cream-filled stuff guy. So I suppose, I mean, listen, anything is possible. The world of culinary experimentation is only limited by your imagination. So, yes, you could certainly make a blueberry-flavored cannoli, but just because you can do something doesn't mean it's worth doing. Okay, so there are certain things where we just have to say, you don't want to improve upon perfection, so keep the blueberry out of it for me.
I can get behind that, Ryan. I understand that frame of thought.
Fair enough. You're just throwing it out there. And we'll leave you on this. I know you're a baseball guy, so I figured I might know the answer to this, but since today is officially the first day of spring, what are you looking forward to the most this spring?
Cadbury cream eggs, of course. No, it's baseball. It's baseball coming. The tribe's going to have a big season. The Clippers down here are going to have another big season, I think. And, of course, anytime you get to this time of year, you think about spring training. The Tribe, of course, got bad news with Cody Anderson going under the knife for Tommy John surgery. Jason Kipnis' shoulder injury is a concern. Michael Brantley is going to be in the lineup today. He's playing for the Indians in a spring training game. So hopefully the returns are good for Michael Brantley. You always worry about something like the Grady Sizemore injury that derailed what was an extraordinarily promising, you know, all-star caliber, MVP caliber, major league career. You hope that Brantley can get back to playing 100%, but there are a lot of prospects in the pipeline that I don't know that you can count on them to duplicate what Brantley did over the last couple of years of healthy baseball, but there are exciting prospects that they can plug in if they need to along the way while both Brantley and Kipnis get healthy.
Baseball, hockey, cannoli, this guy covers it all. Ryan, always a pleasure to have you on, my friend, and we'll definitely do it again soon.
All right, thanks. And a big shout-out to the Wrestling Bucks for a runner-up finish in the NCAA Wrestling Tournament. Well,
all right, good stuff. Great stuff. That's Ryan Mitchell of the Columbus Blue Jackets Radio Network talking about the Red Hot Blue Jackets.